Bridgewater, Virginia. She currently serves as a service facilitator at Valley Associates for Independent Living here in Harrisonburg, and has been a children's ministry volunteer intern at Grace Covenant Church, her congregation here in Harrisonburg, for a number of years. Candy will present to us this morning with the title, Grace Buddies, Integrating Children with Disabilities into the Church. Candy.
Hello, everyone. Yes, my project is Grace Buddies, Integrating Children with Special Needs into the Church. To start out, I want to give you just a little bit of background. My story. I, too, have a disability. And I have come to learn from that disability that nothing is impossible. The word itself says, I am possible. Now, I will not go through all of my disabilities, but there is some of my diagnosis. But I will say that having a disability has led to knowing struggle. And knowing struggle has led to compassion. And compassion has led to bonds with some very, very special people. And I have come to know, as my beloved Audrey says, people, even more than things, have to be restored, renewed, revived, reclaimed, and redeemed. Never throw out anyone. First, we should define a disability. Can you move it back? This is not working well. The DSM-5 lists 18 categories of disabilities. This is many subcategories within these categories as well, and this is not including physical disabilities. Next slide. The definition of a disability from the American Disabilities Act is a person who has a disability, physical or mental, that substantially limits a major life function or activity. And this can be in any area. Next slide, please. The point in showing this is that even classified cases of disabilities are very common. As a friend of mine likes to say, a disability is only limitations. And that is a very good definition. And in truth, we all have a limitation. This is not about disabilities as much as a new way of thinking about humankind. Now, statistics. This also proves the substantial amount of disabilities. In 2014, over 20 million people between the ages of 18 and 64 were reported to have a disability. Approximately 1 in 25 adults have had experience with a severe mental illness at least once in their life. Sadly, another statistic is the population is up to 70% more likely to be sexually or physically abused. And the more prevalent the disability, the more likelihood that they will be abused. In 2014, they also did statistics about employment. 4.88% of people with disabilities were employed versus 87.17% of people with disabilities. There's probably a reason why. Next slide. The legal requirement states if you receive assistance because of a disability, you are capped on how much money you're allowed to make. $24,000 a year and no more than $2,000 in savings. I know this because this is my job. I monitor this. If the individuals go over this amount, the government either takes their money or they lose their services. I have watched many people who could serve and work in the community, but they are forced to live in poverty for this reason. Now that we've discussed statistics and definitions, let's live a day in the life. Granted, this will not cover everything, but at least give us a taste of disabilities. Darren has agreed to assist me. Darren, your task, if you should choose to accept it, there's a paper and pencil right there. You got 10 seconds to write your name, but you're not allowed to use your hands.
I'll use my pencil.
Okay. You can use yours. Ah, you just use your hands. Hmm? You just use your hands.
Oh. Oh.
Okay. Point is, some people live like this, and we need to show consideration for people who do have limitations. Now, I am lumping together intellectual communication and learning disabilities for the mere reason they have a common core of connection problems. This is my roommate, who is going to give us two lines in her native language. Pretend you're being graded on this, except you, Dorothy Jean, who probably will know this. And tell me what she's saying. The point in tow, it's hard to communicate.
اسمي لجين، أنا من السعودية، وأنا جدا مبسوطة إن أنا هنا موجودة في أمريكا.
Anyone want to tell me what she said? I figured you
might. Only one word. I only got two words. And she said, my name is whatever it is. Beyond that, I don't
care. Now imagine being graded on this and trying to understand a teacher. She said, my name is LeJane, and I'm happy because I'm in America. The next is a little vignette skit about anxiety and depression. And my friend Lindsay is going to help me demonstrate. This would be kind of skit-like demonstration. Consider me someone who has anxiety and depression.
What if you
this
fail?
Is going to be my inner voice.
What if you fail? What if we don't get to graduate on time? What are we going to do about jobs if we don't get this degree? Do you think that people will actually like this? Will enough people care? Will they want to do anything? Will I do anything? What's going to come out of this? Anything good?
These thoughts that keep pounding people with anxiety and depression can be very debilitating for that reason. The overwhelming doubt comes too much sometimes. Now that we have lived a tad in the life of a disability, let's look at some theology. What does the Bible have to say? Some of the verses that I found are one, Psalms 39, which clearly states that everyone is fearfully and wonderfully made, and all of God's works are good. Leviticus 19 specifically states, do not put a stumbling block in front of someone who has a disability. And that's Old Testament. In 2 Samuel, David takes in and provides for Jonathan's disabled son. New Testament continues this theme. Jesus always noticed someone with a disability, most likely healing. In John 9, he actually states that disabilities are not always caused by sin. In Luke, he says specifically to take care of people with disabilities. And lastly, Mark 16, 15. It says, he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The word here to highlight is whole. We are commissioned to leave no one out. Period. Some other writings give the same notion. Being loved is what matters most in life, and God's love is a gift, not something earned from some ability. Jesus recognized the heart of the marginalized and offered the one thing that everyone needs most, a human connection. And lastly, a love relationship with God is not just another activity or means to an end. It is the foundational goal for our spiritual growth. It is the core of our being. The one thing I want to say is there's one thing we can learn from people who have disability. The people who have lived with a prevalent disability for a long period of time understand the concept of dependence and vulnerability. And these are characteristics of God that a lot of us seem to ignore. Jesus himself came as a baby, and he was born in a stable. In Isaiah 53, it was said he had no majesty. He was despised and rejected. He was called the Son of Mary, which in his time was a derogatory term. And lastly, he died a sinner's death on a cross. Jesus showed the image of being vulnerable. One thing I cannot do this project without addressing is the question of why is there disabilities? No matter whether it's someone with a disability or a family member or just the population, it's very commonly asked. And there are many answers, but as most research state, and what I would agree with, is that there's never going to be a satisfactory answer. There's never going to be anything that makes us come to terms with disabilities and other things that are not happy in life. Instead of asking why, we need to ask what. What can God do with the circumstance? What can God do with this person's life? What can I do? When you ask why, it probably won't be answered. But if you ask what, we can get encouragement, we can get foundation, and we can get support and action. Now that we went over theology, let's look at some things we can do in the church as leaders. In various traditions, we have some church history that is happy and church history that's a little dark. Let's get the dark over with. In various traditions, people with disabilities have been excluded from participating in sacraments. They normally are excluded because people don't assume they are competent enough to understand. Throughout history, stories have used people with disabilities in negative contexts, typically, such as being evil or being possessed. And lastly, church leaders, including Martin Luther, thought that the population had no souls. But church doing it right. Methodist, you rock. You have the Disability Ministries Committee, dedicated specifically for integration and care for people who have different disabilities. It's foundational. Joni Erickson Tada formed Joni and Friends, Christian Institute on Disabilities, and has led the way on a lot of church literature for disabilities. And lastly, the Tim Tebow Foundation has founded A Night to Shine, a prom-like party that is held nationally throughout the churches once a year for people with intellectual disabilities to have a time of celebration and honor. Some of the barriers we can look at are, one, practical physical barriers. Do we need ramps? Do we need big print Bibles? Do we need any of the sort? If you have any questions and you know there's someone in your church who has a disability, ask what they need. It's not offensive. Communication. Do we have a learning style in our services that suits everyone? We should add things for every learning style. Plays, skits, pictures, etc. This takes a little extra time, but very much worth it. And lastly, let's acknowledge the caregivers. They go through more than we could ever imagine. A prayer, a hug, and a meal can go a long way. The biggest barrier that people with disabilities face is attitude. How do we see people with disabilities? We'll reflect on how we treat them. Someone who will not dare use a derogatory term for a race or religion will not mind using retard as a term and such as this. These came from Facebook by a good Christian woman who, in all other respects, would have never done something like this. So which would we see? Do we see the retard? Do we see the beautiful Isabella? One last note when working with people with disabilities. We must find the balance of first recognizing the person, then compensating for the disability. And as the Methodist theology says, it's a ministry with, not just a ministry to, people with disabilities. Now, how we implemented this in our church. Grace Buddies. For the mentor and ministry class, I did my internship at my church at Grace Covenant, and I was put with the children's ministry. One of my ministry goals was to work with what was then called Special Buddies, a lower version of the same program. I was asked as one of my goals to build this program. As this was a big undertaking, and I had a lot of other tasks, it kind of got put to the side. But I had planned on coming back after graduation and really implementing it. But God had other plans, because in the fall time, I was contacted by Danielle Fournier. She was a member at our church who wanted to join Special Buddies, not only as a volunteer, but wanted to combine with me to build the program. I had two choices. I could join her with this program that I near and dearly loved, or I could do the original project. Didn't take me long to switch and come on board. We took the fall time to put a strategic plan and collect literature, which was approved in December, and we spent the springtime trying to implement. Just a basic outline of the strategic plan, we identified the population, which was four young gentlemen of school age who had an intellectual disability. We recruited volunteers. We joined Covenant Presbyterian with their respite program for Saturdays quarterly to help parents have a break, plus helping with the curriculum to make it a little accessible for the kids using iPads. And we're going to implement IFSPs, which is the community equivalent of the special ed IEPs. We're also talking about other things such as a reverse inclusion classroom for children who have more prevalent disabilities. We formed a vision and mission statement, and we've picked a foundational verse, which was Psalms 139:14. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. And that went on to our shirt. And we luckily had graphic designers who made us a logo. We put an ad in the church. The 1229 is the Christmas party in which we first implemented Grace Buddies. And then us behind, or in the back of the church, asking for volunteers. And that's Grace Buddies today, with a few members still not fully signed up. May the church use the things of this world that cause its discomfort and use it to go deeper. May the church look at struggles and see them as a way to draw closer to God. May the church look at all of God's creation and see his image. May the church look at all people and state it as the Talmud says, every weed has an angel whispering, grow, grow, grow. May this prayer be over all of God's creation.